Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. How to Be an Explorer of the World Portable Life Museum by Carrie Smith is an interactive creativity book and guided journal built around observation, collection, and documentation. Rather than presenting creativity as a talent or a set of finished artistic products, Smith frames it as a way of looking closely at ordinary surroundings. The book asks readers to behave like both artists and scientists, noticing patterns, gathering evidence, recording impressions, comparing details, and making personal meaning from everyday materials. Its subtitle signals one of its central ideas that a museum need not be an institution with official authority, but can be a portable, personal archive of what a person finds worth noticing. Through hand-illustrated prompts and open-ended exercises, the book turns walking, collecting, mapping, tracing, and note-taking into practical methods for paying attention. It belongs to the category of participatory art books, but its deeper purpose is to train curiosity, presence, and creative perception. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, observation as a shared practice of artists and scientists. A central premise of the book is that artists and scientists often begin from the same basic act, close observation. Smith does not treat art as purely expressive or science as purely technical. Instead, she emphasizes a shared sequence of looking, collecting, documenting, analyzing, and comparing. This framework gives the exercises intellectual weight because it shows that paying attention is not casual decoration, but a disciplined way of producing knowledge and meaning. Act-disciplined, the reader is asked to notice surfaces, sounds, traces, repetitions, and overlooked objects, then record them without rushing to judge their importance. This matters because the ordinary environment is usually filtered by habit. People recognize a street, a room, or an object by function, not by texture, variation, or history. Smith's approach interrupts that automatic recognition. By asking the reader to look as if encountering the world for the first time, the book turns perception into an active investigation. The result is not simply a sketchbook or diary, but a training ground for noticing relationships that routine attention misses. Secondly, the portable museum as a personal system for collecting meaning. The idea of a portable life museum gives the book its distinctive structure. Smith expands the meaning of a museum beyond buildings, curators, and formal exhibitions. A museum in this context is any intentional collection that gives attention to selected things and asks why they matter. Found leaves, packaging, ticket stubs, stains, lists, photographs, maps, and written observations can all become material for a private or shared display. This concept is important because it shifts authority from institutions to the individual observer. The reader does not need permission to classify, preserve, arrange, or interpret fragments of daily life. At the same time, the museum metaphor adds discipline to what might otherwise be random accumulation. A collection becomes meaningful when the collector notices patterns, creates categories, compares examples, and reflects on context. The portable museum, therefore, teaches both freedom and structure. It validates curiosity while also encouraging readers to think about selection, arrangement, and presentation. This makes the book more than a scavenger hunt. It becomes a practical model for transforming attention into an archive. Thirdly, interactive prompts that turn creativity into repeatable action. Smith's method depends on prompts rather than lectures. The book is designed to be used, marked, carried, and acted upon, which places it within the tradition of participatory journals and activity-based art books. Its exercises ask readers to take notes, collect objects, trace shapes, copy textures, map sounds, focus on single categories, or document what naturally attracts their attention. This format lowers the barrier to creative practice because it does not require the reader to begin with a polished idea. Instead, the prompt supplies a narrow action that can be completed in ordinary places with ordinary materials. The value of this structure is that creativity becomes behavioral rather than inspirational. A person does not wait to feel original. They perform a concrete act of noticing and recording. The repetition of small actions gradually builds a habit of inquiry. The prompts also preserve openness. Two readers can complete the same exercise and produce entirely different results because each environment and each pattern of attention is different. That combination of guidance and variability is central to the book's appeal. Fourthly, everyday surroundings is a field for psychogeographic exploration. The book has a strong connection to psychogeographic thinking, though it presents the idea in an accessible and playful form. Psychogeography is concerned with how places affect perception, movement, memory, and emotion. Smith adapts this sensibility by asking readers to explore familiar environments as if they were unknown territories. A walk around a neighborhood, a commute, or time spent in a room can become fieldwork when the observer follows unusual details instead of practical routines. The exercises encourage deviation from automatic movement. Listen for patterns, track objects, notice marks on the ground, or let one sensory detail guide attention. This changes the relationship between person and place. The environment is no longer only a backdrop for errands or obligations. It becomes an active source of information and surprise. The reasoning behind this approach is practical. Most people do not lack interesting surroundings as much as they lack methods for encountering them differently. Smith's book supplies those methods in compact form, making exploration possible without travel, expense, or specialized equipment. Lastly, mindful presence without the language of conventional self-help. Although the book can be read as a creativity guide, it also functions as a quiet practice of mindfulness. Smith rarely depends on abstract advice about living better. Instead, she directs attention toward concrete acts: slow down, look again, record what is present, and follow curiosity. This makes the book different from many self-improvement titles because its claims are embedded in activity rather than argument. The reader experiences presence by attending to a crack in a sidewalk, a repeated color, a found object, or a sequence of sounds. The benefit is not presented as personal transformation in grand terms, but as a shift in how daily life is perceived. By narrowing attention to one thing at a time, the exercises counter distraction and passive consumption. They also encourage non-judgmental noticing, since many collected details have no obvious practical use. This lack of utility is part of the point. The book teaches that attention itself can create value. In that sense, it offers a grounded, material form of mindfulness tied to making, collecting, and observing. In conclusion, How to Be an Explorer of the World is best suited for readers who want a practical way to develop observational habits, especially artists, journal keepers, teachers, students, designers, writers, and anyone interested in noticing ordinary environments more carefully. It can also be useful for readers who feel creatively stuck, because it replaces the pressure to produce original work with small acts of attention that can be repeated anywhere. Its benefits are both practical and intellectual. Practically, it offers exercises for collecting, mapping, documenting, and arranging material from daily life. Intellectually, it challenges the assumption that meaning is found only in rare experiences, official collections, or traditionally beautiful objects. Compared with many creativity books, it stands out because it is less concerned with advice and more concerned with direct participation. Compared with conventional journals, it provides a stronger conceptual frame. The reader is building a portable museum through methods borrowed from art, science, and field observation. It's hand-illustrated. Open-ended design also gives it a tactile quality that digital creativity tools often lack. The book's distinctiveness lies in its ability to make exploration local, inexpensive, and personal. It does not ask readers to escape daily life. It asks them to examine it with greater precision. If you would like to support Carrie Smith, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.